You may be seated, boys and girls. Wow, that was so well done. Thank you so much. This is great. Great. We'll take an opportunity right at the end of the service to thank Lori particularly and some of the adults who worked so hard to put this together. But man, are you guys learning a lot in Sunday school? Talk about catechizing our kids. Learning the whole Old Testament, how the Old Testament points to Christ. It's powerful. You know, when we think about those Bible prophecies in the Old Testament, if you're a first-time reader through the Bible and you come to those prophecies, it's exciting, but it's a little confusing. It can be quite puzzling because some of the prophecies don't seem to make sense. For example, when these kids sung that prophecy that said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given," we go, I think they're talking about Jesus, and it's absolutely right. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. And we go, that's Jesus. And we're absolutely right. It was talking about Jesus. But then it says that the government will be upon his shoulder. And we have to pause and say, well, I don't think that Jesus is right now shouldering the governments of the world. So when does that happen? Or what about that prophecy that says, comfort ye my people. I can hear the tenor right now in Handel's Messiah singing it as the whole Messiah opens up. Tell Jerusalem that they've paid in full for all their sins. And then it says, and it's definitely pointing to Jesus, for every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill be made low, and every crooked place shall be made straight, and every rough place shall be made a plain. And we go, I don't think that's happened yet. It's pointing to Jesus, but it hasn't happened. Things are still very crooked and very rough, and I know a lot of very proud, arrogant mountains that have not been demoted yet. Or the really famous one, Isaiah 11, that says, out of the stump of Jesse, this dead tree, this little green branch will grow up. And the green branch is obviously pointing to Jesus because it says that the Spirit of the Lord will come upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of revelation, and in justice he will make wise decisions concerning the poor. And we go, oh, I know that's a prophecy about Jesus, and it absolutely is. But the very next verse says, and it's so confusing, and he will then destroy the nations with the rod that comes out of his mouth. And we go, baby Jesus? How can this be true? Then the next verse says, and the leopard will lie down with the lamb, and the lion will eat straw like an ox, and the little child will play by the viper's den, and the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And we read that and we go, I don't think that has quite happened yet. It's really important to know that when the prophets in the Old Testament prophesied the coming of Christ, they foretold the entire story from beginning to end. They foretold John the Baptist, the birth of Christ, the death of Christ for our sins, the resurrection of Christ. They prophesied then the coming of Jesus the second time. So prophecy must be understood in light of the entire story. And now it's our task as New Testament Christians to discern what part of the story we find ourselves in. We are between the first coming of Jesus, when he was born in Bethlehem, died on a cross, and rose again, and the second coming of Christ, when he comes again in power and in justice and with judgment. That means that we need to be ready for the second coming. It also means that as God, the covenant God, was faithful in bringing Jesus the first time, he will be faithful in bringing Jesus the second time. The first time Jesus came, he came in humility. It was quiet. Nobody knew. He came incognito. Only a few shepherds were made privy to this revelation of God's glory in Christ. But the second time Jesus comes, it says every eye will see him. And he will come with great fanfare. There'll be a trumpet blast and the sound or the shout of the archangel. He will come on a white horse, the text says, and his holy ones will come behind him. And there will be a sword coming out of his mouth and his eyes will be like fire. What that means, it's all symbolic language to mean that the second coming of Christ will be truly cataclysmic and the entire earth will know it. And then and only then will the lion lie down with the lamb, and the glory of the Lord will cover the earth the way the waters cover the sea. The first time Jesus came, he stood before Pontius Pilate, and Pilate was the judge. But the second time Jesus comes, Pontius Pilate will stand before Jesus, and Jesus will be the judge. The wonderful moral of the whole story is this. The God who was true to his promises in sending Jesus the first time will be faithful in bringing Jesus the second time. And if God is faithful in the first and the second coming of Jesus, he will be faithful with all that we have to go through this Christmas season, all the ups and downs of waiting for the second coming. Jesus will be faithful to us in the middle of the story. And for that, we praise God. We have a covenant God who keeps his promises. Amen? Amen. I hope you know him. And if you don't, you can do what the kids have exhorted us to do. Open up your heart and invite this living, slain, and risen Jesus into your heart. And he will come in. And this will be your very first Christmas. Let's close in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming, for obeying the Father, and for being willing to die on the cross in our place. Thank you, Jesus, for rising from the dead. And thank you for the promise that you are coming again. Until then, we wait. We wait for your second coming, and we also invite you now, by your Holy Spirit, to come live in our hearts. Forgive us our sins. Change us from the inside. And make us the kind of people that you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.